You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. Over the last few months, a series of theater classes in the Sacramento region were being held in an unusual place. Instead of a classroom or performance space, they were taking place at Folsom State Prison. The classes were organized by the Prison Arts Collective program in partnership with Sacramento State. Through them, incarcerated individuals were able to express their creativity and their voice by writing, producing, and performing an original play. The culminating piece made its debut at the prison last week on June 11th. Here to tell us more about this program are Dr. Erin Kaplan, a professor of theater and dance at Sacramento State, and Ginny Oshiro, training coordinator for the Prison Arts Collective. Welcome to you both.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very much for being here. Ginny, let's start with you. Can you give us a little bit of background? What is the Prison Arts Collective?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again for having us. It's great to be here. So Prison Arts Collective, we're a university-based arts program. We were founded in 2013 by our founder and executive director, Annie Buckley. We're housed at San Diego State University, where Annie is a professor of art, and we work with universities across California, like Sacramento State, to bring the transformative power of the arts into California prisons. We've served over 7,500 participants since beginning in 2013, and we define art pretty broadly. So we offer so many different types of programs across California prisons. It could be acting, writing, painting, traditional arts, and every program is unique because we really rely on the expertise and experience of faculty. And equally as important, the interests and needs of our incarcerated students. And we're super fortunate to be working with Dr. Kaplan at Sac State because I think you'll see that her experience, expertise, values are super aligned with our program.
Well, Dr. Kaplan, tell me a little bit about what made you interested in working in prisons. Was this the first time you worked with the program, the collective? How did you find out about this?
So this was my first workshop with Prison Arts Collective, but I started doing prison theater work when I was an undergraduate student at the University of Michigan. I became involved in the Prison Creative Arts Project there, which is the largest prison arts organization in the country. And it really was a life-changing experience for me. And I wanted to continue that work. So I worked for several years in Michigan prisons and juvenile detention centers. And then I've led workshops in prisons in New York State, several in New York State, several different prisons, different workshops, taught college classes as an adjunct instructor there. And then when I came to Sac State, I think in my first week, I was told to email Annie Buckley because let's create something at Sac State. And so we did, and we are, and we will continue to do so.
I don't think most folks would say, I'm going to jump at that opportunity, or they're maybe not ever presented with that opportunity. So what were there hurdles, barriers that you had to overcome personally to say, yes, this is something I want to go try?
It was something that I was immediately drawn to. When I was an undergraduate student, I was studying English literature, drama, and political science, and I thought I was supposed to go to law school. And those three things intersected for me in a way that I didn't quite understand as a 19, 20-year-old until I started doing the work in prisons. And it was about telling stories with people who have been told that their voices don't matter and using my theatrical skills. Really, I think of myself as like a walking toolbox. Like, here's a story you want to tell. Here are some theatrical devices that we can use to tell it. And so it was engaging in political theater. My background is in applied theater, so using theater as a tool to do something in the world, theater and social justice. And so all of my interests that I couldn't really figure out how they intersected came together for me creating theater in prisons. And so essentially for the last 20 years, I went to graduate school and you know, did my master's and my doctorate, and really to be able to create a program like this at Sac State. And one of the really important elements of that for me is having my student co-facilitator. So I was so blessed to work with Scarlett Pasquale, who was my student co-facilitator. She is now a graduate. She walked last month. And being able to pass that work down to the next generation of artist activists and scholar artists is just so deeply meaningful for me, because now those students have an opportunity to learn about this work, see the transformational power, and then go off and do it on their own. So my plan is to bring new student co-facilitators every semester so that that work can continue in other people's lives and other people's experiences.
Jenny, I wonder if you can pick up on what Dr. Kaplan was talking about the need sort of for creativity and art within prisons. Why is that so important?
Yeah, great question. I would just say that, you know, Prison Arts Collective was founded with the idea that access to art and art is a human right. And so I think often, you know, for a variety of reasons, right, media included, when we think of prisons and who's incarcerated, we tend to think of the worst of humanity, right? And so there's a lot of ideas about what people do and don't deserve if they are incarcerated. And so when PAC was founded with this idea that art is a human right, no matter what your circumstances, no matter where you're currently housed, and what's happened and what's going to happen in the future, people should have the access to art as a vehicle to transform themselves. And so I think what folks will find if they're interested or curious, without even a lot of digging, is when you go inside correctional institutions like this, people are incredibly hungry for opportunities like this, you know, for art as a vehicle for transformation, as a way to go inside and look at themselves and then share something out with the world. And so, you know, all of our programs are founded with that in mind. And the facilitators come on, you know, understanding that what they're bringing is this vehicle. Like Erin said, you know, she's a walking toolkit. And so that's really, I think, why it's so important, is because there's this just great need and desire for that inside.
So that gives us a sense of why you're doing this. But Dr. Kaplan, tell us more about what you actually produce, the theater production performed at Folsom State Prison. Tell us, what was it?
Yes. So one of the things that I do that's really my specialty is devised theater. And for anyone who isn't familiar with devised theater, it's grown in popularity over the last 20 or 30 years, and it's becoming a little bit more mainstream these days. But it's what it is you have a group of people who come together and they work as the idea generators for the play. They devise, right? They create whole cloth from nothing, an original work of theater, which they also perform. So it is really coming in with very few expectations. It's somewhat counterintuitive, but I like to say I come totally unprepared because what I want is to see what are the stories that the people I'm working with want to tell, what are the questions they have, what are the things that they want an audience to hear from them, and then, you know, using different exercises. I am a practitioner of theater of the oppressed, which is a style of theater that was developed in the 1960s and 70s in Rio de Janeiro by Augusto Boal. And we use a lot of those techniques from theater of the oppressed to generate ideas and then create original plays, which we then perform. So that is this sort of scope of those projects. But one of the things that's really interesting is I always come with a few ideas in my head, and then I have to let go of them immediately because the people I'm working with have some other thing that they want to do. And I really see my job as sort of a midwife to their ideas and their stories. And one of the things that Theater of the Oppressed centers as like a pillar idea is that we are all artists. And that is one of the things that I, you know, sort of reflecting what Ginny was saying, that like every single person in my workshop is an artist and every single person in the workshop has a story to tell and has something of value to share. And theater is just such a beautiful way to allow us to communicate and share those stories. Because as Paulo Freire, also a Brazilian educational theorist, discusses, you know, we humanize each other through the telling of stories. And so that is my role as a theater artist, is, you know, we humanize each other through those stories.
When you walked in and first approached inmates about this, were they familiar with sort of, were there other theater programs? How did they receive this idea that we're going to write a script for a play or a performance. What was that encounter like?
You know, it was really funny because they signed up for Prison Arts Collective. And so there were several guys who showed up to our first workshop thinking that it was visual art. And I'm like, everybody, we're going to run around and play games. And there were a couple of guys who told me literally at the performance that they came to that first workshop with the intention of telling me that they didn't want to be in it, or that they came to that first workshop, heard me say we're going to create an original play, and were like, yeah, I'm not coming back. And by the end of that workshop, we're like, yeah, let's do this. And I think that that gets at what Ginny is saying. Like, people who are inside are hungry for opportunities to express themselves, to find the artist that they are, and to, you know, let their story be told and be heard.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Sacramento State Professor Aaron Kaplan and Ginny Oshiro from the Prison Arts Collective about a recent play that they put on at Folsom State Prison last week. Ginny, you were at the performance as a guest and got to see the whole stage show. How was it for you?
Wow, it was really incredible. Honestly, I get chills just thinking about it. And, you know, for the listeners, and, you know, I think it's important to remember that when you go into an institution, you're walking into a place that it's not necessarily set up for this artistic expression, for freedom of movement, for, you know, vulnerability. And when I, you know, went to the performance, as I do for many of the workshops and, you know, classes across California prisons, when I went, you know, we were received with, you know, one of the participants handing out programs and showing us to our seats. And then to see how everyone came together and put on this really incredible performance was just transformative. You know, I will say in the play, each of the participants, they acted out a scene in their life. And I asked afterwards, you know, if this was an actual scene from their life. It was pretty clear in the performance that it was. There were moments in time that they wish they could go back and change, that they feel like would have changed their trajectory. And when I think about the vulnerability and insight it requires to both, you know, identify that moment in time, write about it, and then have the courage to come share it with a class. And beyond that, share it in a performance where there's, you know, people from outside the prison, where they've invited incarcerated guests to attend, where prison administrators will be, to act out scenes from their childhood and throughout their life. I mean, it was, you know, I had a full range of, you know, emotion. I was, you know, happy. I was sad. I was touched. I was moved. I laughed. You know, we teared up. It was just really, really incredible. Such an expression of the humanity that folks have, and just what a privilege to be there and witness it.
And it was the guys who wanted to do that. It wasn't myself and Scarlett saying, we're going to do a play where you guys share your stories. One of the things I do early on in the process, just to build the ensemble. So like sort of the first stage of this work is always ensemble building, because a lot of the men know each other and a lot of them don't. You know, there are, I think, around 2,700 people incarcerated at Folsom. You're not going to know everybody. And so we have this sort of opportunity early on to get to know each other. And one of the things I have them do is a personal monologue. So they have to share a story from their life. And it can be funny. It can be sad. It can be tragic. If they don't feel comfortable sharing something that specifically happened to them, they can share a story about someone they know and act as it's their own. But after those personal monologues, when we started doing some play development work, they came back to those stories and were like, you had a really great story. I think we should include that. And you had a really great story. Let's bring that in. And so that, you know, desire for vulnerability came from the men. That wasn't coming from us. And I will say, I always act in my plays. Generally speaking, it is a very scary thing to get on stage, and to do so as an incarcerated artist is even scarier. And you know, when I'm directing shows at Sac State, my students do not want me on stage with them. They want the roles. They want the lines. But in the prisons, I always say I will never ask a participant to do something that I'm not also doing, especially in a men's prison. You know, you need somebody to play the girlfriend, to play the mom, to play the sister. And so I usually play, you know, a couple of small roles that facilitate the telling of their stories. So I've never actually seen the play. I've only seen bits and pieces of it. You know, I jump outside of a scene and watch and give feedback and then jump back in. So it's really wonderful to hear from Ginny, who actually did get to see the whole thing start to finish.
Erin and Ginny, I'm hearing from both of you that there is a sort of a deeper enrichment or benefit or whatever you want to call it that perhaps inmates are gaining from this. I want to ask you about that to kind of test that. But first, just a basic logistical thing. You're working in a prison. I'm wondering what kind of security measures are taken, and are there some misconceptions about safety or security when you're working there? Tell us a little bit about that, Dr. Kaplan.
There are definitely misconceptions, especially when you're doing this as a 19-year-old woman, that you're going to be unsafe, that it's going to be very dangerous. I can confidently say that in, you know, 20 years of doing this work on again and off again, I've never, ever had an uncomfortable or inappropriate interaction with any of the men I've worked with. And I've pretty much exclusively worked with men just because there are more men who are incarcerated than women. And that the only negative experiences that I ever had, and this is not true of Folsom, but at other prisons in Michigan, in Colorado, were actually with corrections officers. But every single interaction I have had at Folsom with the staff there, with the corrections officers, with our sponsors who bring us in, has just been incredibly generative and supportive and, you know, really taking care of us. And I mean, I've just never felt uncomfortable or unsafe. And I also know that, you know, the guys in my workshop want to be there and they're not going to do anything to jeopardize that for themselves or for the other people in that group, right? We really do spend that time becoming an ensemble. You know, we are Rising Actors Theater Troupe. That is the name that they chose. And we have a commitment to each other. And I have never felt anything but, you know, supported in those spaces.
I want to save some time to ask each of you. Ginny, we'll start with you. What do participants get out of these experiences with the Prison Arts Collective in the long run?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, hard to answer that succinctly, but I do invite you to join us, Chris, on a future performance, and maybe you might see for yourself, because, you know, it's just so interesting when you hear from participants, you know, especially at the graduation, you know, Dr. Kaplan made space for them to share a few words if they were so moved to do so, and what you hear across, you know, all the programs across all the prisons is this deep sense of gratitude for this, you know, whatever the medium is, right? In this case, acting, for this, you know, for people to come in from the outside, to care about them, to provide them with this, you know, vehicle for change, and to stick with it, you know, through all the ups and downs, right? Because I can only imagine, you know, how many, you know, rough rehearsals there were, how many mishaps, but the dedication of folks who really, you know, go inside the prisons and say, you know, everyone's capable of being better than their worst moments. And, you know, that alone is transformative for people. So, you know, that is shared, you know, time and time again, that, you know, they appreciate having a voice. They appreciate, you know, this ability to have insight, and just knowing that they're not forgotten and that they're worthy of care.
Dr. Kaplan, same question for you. What are the participants getting out of these experiences?
I think that so much of being incarcerated, and this is what I've heard from people I've worked with over the years, is a performance, performing, you know, hyper-masculinity, performing toughness. And funnily enough, a theater class is actually where you don't have to perform. You get to shed all of that and you get to play. And so much of what we do is rooted in play. And of course, play is a noun and it is also a verb. Like, you know, play is a thing and it is also a doing. And we allow them to play. And in kind of shedding that performance of, you know, tough guy who needs to, you know, keep himself safe profoundly unsafe spaces. We allow them to create characters that aren't rooted in that trauma, that come from their past or come from, you know, this idea. You know, we had a genie. I was like, you guys are doing magical realism and you didn't, you know, they're like, what's magical realism? I'm like, this is what you created. You're doing this thing. So I think it allows them to sort of shed that skin and try on new identities and new ideas. And I think there's just so much value in telling people, like, you matter and you are more than the worst thing that you did. And, you know, one of the things that I talked to Scarlett about is we never ask people what they're in for. Their entire lives are defined by that one thing. We are not defining them by that. We are defining them as actors and artists and, you know, co-creators. And it's so important for them to have that space to just be able to play and be human and know that their experiences and their stories do have value. And we really see that, you know, one of my favorite moments of the entire process is after the play is done, when we have the talk back and you get to see the incarcerated actors mingling with the audience members who come from outside. And I'm seeing people from the outside who've never been into a prison before, shaking hands with and chatting with somebody who's, you know, done 30 years. And in doing so, we humanize each other. And that is what's so incredibly beautiful about this work. And you know, I turned to my department chair who was at the prison, and he's like, it was amazing. And I'm like, I'm in my happy place. Like, creating this work in this community, like, there's nothing more beautiful and gratifying than doing that. And seeing a group of guys who, you know, a few months ago were terrified of, you know, even speaking in front of a group of people, saying something loud and projecting and enunciating at the front of the stage and really owning that space. It's just, it's a really incredible thing. And I just feel so honored and privileged to get to witness them having those experiences.
So creativity, play, and even freedom, it sounds like, is what you're describing inside the prison walls. Definitely powerful. Last question for you and for this segment, Dr. Kaplan. Are you looking to continue working with Prison Arts Collective? Do you have plans to return in the future?
Absolutely. So I will be off for the summer, and my student co-facilitator, Scarlett, who has just been absolutely amazing. She had no experience doing this, jumped in with both feet and just beautiful work from her. She's going to be taking over the workshop over the summer, and then we will be back. I will be back in the fall, and we will create another play. And I have every intention of just continuing on that trajectory. I also have some ideas up my sleeve, but lots of people need to agree to them before they come to fruition. But this is something that is a long-term project and a program that we hope to continue to grow at Sac State and in the theater and dance department.
Well, we wish you all the best. Erin, Ginny, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Erin Kaplan is a professor of theater and dance at Sacramento State, and Ginny Oshiro, training coordinator for the Prison Arts Collective. We've been talking about their recent performance at Folsom State Prison, which helped give a creative outlet and voice to incarcerated individuals. Still ahead, we'll talk with contemporary landscape painter Jennifer Pert about her visionary works of great Sacramento architecture. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. We're back in just a moment.